This is Radio America right here.
It really makes for great drama.
There's love, there's romance, there's a little bit of intrigue.
We are in historic times.
You are the only repository of local news.
And by local, I mean really local.
It's time for This Morning with Aaron Keck. Now here's Aaron on 97.9 The Hill.
Good morning and happy Monday. 6:06 your time, 59 degrees your temperature right now in Chapel Hill. We'll get up into the mid-70s today with cloudy skies and that chance of rain continuing. We're seeing some now. Big story could be overnight tonight, though. Skies will clear up, but temperatures are going to cool way down into the 30s. We've got a freeze watch overnight tonight, first one of the season, and it will be quite a bit cooler in the 50s for the next couple of days, so get ready for that. Good to be with you on this Monday morning. Let's catch you up on local news as we start this day and this week. Election Day is just a few weeks away, and early voting begins this Thursday across the state. Nationwide, the race for U.S. Senate remains hotly contested. That includes North Carolina, where polls show a dead heat between Republican Ted Budd and Democrat Sherry Beasley, with a sizable percentage of voters still undecided. What do we know about those undecided voters, and where can we expect the election to end up? I spoke about that last week with public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
Across the board, in almost every single race, the voters who are undecided all disapprove of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is very unpopular with voters who are undecided. And what you have in a lot of cases, and North Carolina is an example of this, is there's a lot of key races where Democrats have a superior candidate to Republicans. For instance, Sherry Beasley has a favorability rating that's a net about 20 points better than Ted Budd's favorability rating. So because of that, what you've seen happen over the course of the year is that Democrats have been very much lined up behind their candidates from day one. Republicans have had weaker candidates in some cases that people have been more hesitant to support. So you have a lot more sort of Republican-leaning voters who are like, I don't know. And I think a big question for where this election is going to end up in general is, in all those races across the country, are those kinds of voters going to end up voting for Republicans in the end, or are they really going to hold out? My guess is that most of those people are going to end up voting Republican in the end. And because of that, you could have a situation where Republicans outperform their polls again. And I don't think that even means the polls were wrong. It just means it took Republicans longer to sort of get in line with their candidates.
If you had to call it today, who picks up how many seats, do you think?
I still think that as of today, we would end up with Democrats having a 51-49 Senate. I think they would win the Pennsylvania Senate race and not lose any of the seats that they hold right now. But they could lose Pennsylvania, and they could lose Nevada, and they could lose Georgia, and get to the point where Republicans have 52 seats.
That's public policy polling director Tom Jensen speaking there. Turning to crime news, Chapel Hill police arrested a man early Sunday morning after responding to what seemed to be a minor report of someone pulling on a vehicle's door handle. This happened around 3:30 in the morning. When police located the suspect, they not only found him trying the car door, they also found him in possession of a stolen handgun and a stolen vehicle from Rocky Mount. 19-year-old Kasai Moss Holloway of Durham now faces four separate charges. That arrest happened on Melville Loop, just off Sage Road. Further north, though, residents of a different housing community say they're increasingly concerned about safety after two fatal shootings in the last 2 months. Carolina Connections' Gerard Millman has more from University Gardens.
I was sitting in my living room at the apartment that I live in here at University Gardens with my dad when we heard, 15 rounds maybe go off.
That was Taylor Chupp, who has been living at the University Gardens complex for 11 years.
It was super loud. It sounded super close to us, so we got kind of worried. And then just like a flood of police cars and EMTs showed up. In the past few months, the uneasiness and the tension has grown. I think a lot of people just don't really feel as safe as they used to. I don't think a lot of people can say they feel as safe as they would like a year ago.
Chapel Hill is generally regarded as a safe place. Police reports say three homicides occurred in the first half of this year before the shootings at University Gardens. Chris Blue, the chief of Chapel Hill's police department, says that this year has seen more homicides than in the past 25 years he's worked for the department.
What we've experienced this year, which is very unique in Chapel Hill, is that we've had 5 homicides, all of them gun-related homicides. Over a 10-year average, we probably average less than 1 homicide per year in our community.
Blue says the 5 homicides are not related to each other, and the victims and the perpetrators are not strangers to each other in any of the cases.
Despite what we might like to think in Chapel Hill, there are guns in Chapel Hill. And what's particularly concerning is it seems they're increasingly finding their way into disputes, and they end up being how disputes are settled. And that's not something we're used to in our community. It's not something, thankfully, I'm knocking on wood, that we've seen over the years here. And we are troubled by it.
But it's not just the easy access of firearms that is causing this spike. Blue says that many of those who have been marginalized or disenfranchised before COVID are in a worse position now, and that both make for a potentially deadly combination.
The world in many ways is a very desperate place right now, and I think that's showing up in the way people settle conflict with each other. So do I feel like our community is unsafe? No, I don't. Do I feel like our campus is unsafe? Absolutely not. What I do think is that there are desperate people in the world who are experiencing really difficult times, and that's showing up, sadly, in our violent crime categories.
Blue says that with the exception of homicides and a couple of very serious assaults, the crime rate in Chapel Hill has decreased the last few years. A couple from the University Gardens complex who refused to give their names for fear of identification and retaliation from their landlord were home when they heard the gunshots of the first shooting in August.
And it's just so weird to think, like, when these horrible things are happening, when these tragedies are happening, people are just going about their lives and it's a normal day for a lot of people. It's the worst day of
a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, it's the worst day of their lives.
The Chapel Hill Police Department has a full-time crisis unit of social workers and law enforcement to support people who have witnessed traumatic violence in their neighborhoods. The unit has been part of the police department for more than 50 years, and Blue says it's an effective way to help communities heal. Blue says that he has talked to people in the Pritchard Avenue area and will be holding neighborhood meetings this month. In Chapel Hill, I'm Gerard Millman.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings on 97.9 The Hill. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including a piece on the Pittsboro Youth Theater from the Chatham News and Record, plus the latest in a legal battle over election rules this year in North Carolina. You can also get a rundown of local government meetings for the week, including a couple happening today. The Orange County School Board is holding a retreat at 6 p.m. with an agenda that includes a discussion about shifting to equity-based budgeting. And in Durham, the city council meets tonight at 7. They'll likely vote to create a downtown social district where people can drink alcoholic beverages on the sidewalk. 6:14 is your time. Quick look now at traffic and weather together. Still early in the morning yet, so no traffic yet. No incidents, accidents, or delays to report right now. We'll keep an eye on traffic over the course of the morning, and so should you. If you're seeing anything out there that we're not reporting, shoot us a tweet when it's safe to do so at WCHL Chapelboro and let us know what's going on. As for weather, 59 degrees and cloudy across the triangle. Little bits of light rain here and there on the radar, so if you are driving around, get ready for that. We've got cloudy skies with a chance of rain throughout the day. Highs are going to get up into the mid-70s this afternoon, but get ready for cold weather tonight. We'll have temperatures dropping down into the upper 30s, maybe even cooler than that. Skies will be clearing up, but we got a freeze watch overnight tonight, so if you got plants, be careful. If you are driving around super late, be careful of that as well. Sunny skies for the rest of the week, a little bit cooler for Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s, but then getting up into the low 60s on Thursday, upper 60s on Friday, and back in the low 70s in time for the weekend. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. Another Saturday, another narrow win for UNC football, 38-35 over Duke after Drake May tossed a game-winning TD pass to Antoine Green with 16 seconds left, and Will Hardy clinched the win with an interception a couple plays later. With more on Tar Heel football, here's 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
Through 7 games, it seems like the 2022 Tar Heels are the exact opposite of the 2021 team. Carolina has gutted out not one, not two, not three, but 4 close road games already. This comes after UNC dropped 3 heartbreakers on the road last season and fell flat in the others. The Tar Heels' 4 road wins are the program's most since the 2016 season. Head coach Mack Brown put Carolina's strong start in perspective after the thrilling win Saturday night.
I'm proud of our guys. They're resilient. We've had 4 road wins this year, and all 4 of them at some point we were in trouble with and stepped up and played well enough in the fourth quarter to win. And good teams win on the road, and good teams win close games. And we've been able to do that this year. And the last couple of years, even as good as we were with the Orange Bowl team, we lost a couple of close games. So that's very, very impressive to me for the coaches and the players.
Junior wide receiver Josh Downs, who finished with 9 catches for 126 yards and was a freshman on that 2020 Orange Bowl team, said the Tar Heels are entering the bye week in the best form they've been in all season.
In my opinion, these last 2 wins are our best wins to me. To go down there to Miami and come out with that win, it was incredible. It was a similar feel to today. Everybody in the locker room was ecstatic, and we're just growing together. And I mean, last year we definitely struggled on the road a lot, and it showed. This year we come together in adversity, and we don't let the home team get a surge, and we just win a game.
Junior linebacker Cedric Gray made 6 tackles Saturday against the Blue Devils. Another veteran of last year's team, Gray said it's the off-the-field preparation that is setting this year's Tar Heels apart.
I think our whole attitude, you know, I said this before, and the team has changed from last year to this year. You know, this team is a lot more resilient. This team has a lot more leaders on it. This team, you know, just gives a lot and is way more prepared than I feel like the team was last year.
Gray's comments echo those of his head coach so far this season. Mack Brown has time and again noted how this season's team consistently has practiced harder than last season's. Brown is also noticeably more complimentary of the 2022 Tar Heels. Equaling last season's win total in mid-October may have something to do with that, but it's a promising trend for Carolina fans hoping for another ACC championship appearance in the last year of division play. UNC's 5 remaining post-bye week opponents, including 3 who beat the Tar Heels last season, may have something to say about that. But Brown said Carolina, who broke into the AP Top 25 Sunday for the first time all season, still hasn't reached its true potential.
They're playing really hard to the standard I want now. We didn't at the first of the year all the time. They're playing with confidence. They didn't get bad body language and give up. But we still got so many things we can fix, and we can play so much better. And that's the fun part of this team. There's an upside here that we haven't even scratched.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
UNC up to number 22 in both the AP and the coaches' polls this week, 1 spot ahead of NC State. After struggling on the road the last couple of years, as Michael mentioned, Carolina has 4 road victories now. That ties with Clemson for first in the nation, not just the ACC, the entire country. Elsewhere in Carolina sports, top-ranked UNC field hockey stayed undefeated with a 6-1 win over Syracuse. Freshman Riley Heck led the way with her first career hat trick, but Aaron Mattson was the star with a goal and an assist, breaking the all-time ACC career scoring record. In soccer, the second-ranked UNC women shut out Wake Forest 1-0 on Friday. Torrey Hansen got the goal on a penalty kick in the second half. The UNC men did not get a win, but they fought NC State to a 2-2 draw on the road. UNC volleyball split 2 matches over the weekend, beating Boston College in straight sets before falling to Syracuse in 5. UNC cross-country had a strong showing at a meet in Wisconsin. The women finished 6th, and the men took 14th. In a field of 36 teams. Off the field, a big weekend for legendary UNC women's lacrosse coach Jenny Levy. She was officially inducted into the National Lacrosse Hall of Fame on Saturday in a ceremony that was delayed by a year due to COVID-19. And in basketball, another big recruiting win for UNC. 4-star forward Zayden High out of Texas officially committed to Carolina for 2023. 24/7 Sports ranks him as the 48th best player in the nation in his class. In high school football, another rough weekend for local teams. Chapel Hill lost to Hillside, Carrboro lost to South Granville, and Cedar Ridge lost to Western Alamance. Northwood did get a win, but only by beating another local team. They knocked out Orange 42-7. And in the pros, the Carolina Hurricanes stayed unbeaten early in the season with a 2-1 win over the Sharks on Friday. They're back in action tonight, taking on Seattle on the road at 10.